Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes, getting you set for Monday Night Football as the Giants and the Dolphins will collide at Sun Life Stadium tonight. So we'll get into the game. We'll also talk about what transpired in the NFC East on Sunday, the Redskins and the Eagles both winning, the Cowboys losing to the Green Bay Packers, so we'll go over the standings. Clearly, Giants are in a situation where they have to win regardless of what happens in the NFC East landscape. And we'll also get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. If you can't get to a phone, certainly we want you to chime in via social media. So, Jeff, before we get into the game, the ball didn't necessarily bounce in favor of the Giants' way yesterday, but Tom Coughlin made it very clear on Monday last week, and he said, hey, we'll win when we deserve to win. And the goal, the task at hand doesn't change regardless of what happened yesterday,
nope.
Jeff.
It never changes anyway. The task at hand is to win the game that you're going to play that day. The ball didn't bounce in the favor of the Giants this weekend, but as we know, in previous weekends, it did. So it's just a matter of time that you have to take it upon yourself to do things on your end to take care of and let the ball bounce in your favor that way. And that's tonight in Florida against the Miami Dolphins, who are really playing for nothing. They're playing for their jobs down there. I think I indicated that on Friday. You know, when there's a coaching change like this, I have never been through something like that in my career. But I know the players that have, and immediately as soon as the head coach is fired, you as a player have to understand that now the evaluation process has started for everyone in the organization.
Yeah, everybody's under the microscope.
And so that's kind of how you see things kind of pan out a little bit early for these teams. They start to win because guys, their sense of urgency and the way that they do things change. Because before they fired the coach, nothing was happening. And now they're going to have to, you know, fight for their job. So, but the Giants, they have everything here. They got to go in and play this game. The offensive line is healthy, as we think. Both Flowers and Newhouse should be able to go. I'm not confirming that, but
they did travel with the team.
They're on the plane, and that's a good sign. So they'll get that back. They have, you know, the full complement of their offense this week. Defensively, you know, they're going to be without Kennard, but for that most part, everything is going to be okay. So, relatively speaking, a healthy New York Giants team playing on Monday night against a team that does not stop the run well. And on the flip side of it, the Giants defense doesn't stop the pass well or the run. So it's going to be a high-scoring game tonight. I think that the Giants have to play good. This is going to be one of those nights that we call in football one of those spectacular nights in Monday Night Football, because they're going to announce the 50 top players in Dolphins history, and they're going to have the undefeated football team that was there in 1972, I believe it was.
No, you're right.
So, you know, a lot of emotion on, not so much emotion, but just, you know, just kind of late season, you know, firecrackers, if you will.
Well, it'll be an eventful night from the Dolphins' perspective, also from the Giants' perspective. But, you know, you do bring up a good point, Jeff, in terms of the personnel that's going to be out there on the field for the Giants, the fact that they're only missing Devon Kennard on defense. We don't know who's playing on the offensive line. We do know, though, that everybody's traveled, which is certainly a positive. I think a lot of it's going to depend on a game-time situation, how Eric Flowers is feeling with respect to his ankle. Got in a limited practice later in the week.
Well, you got an extra day.
Correct, which is a positive. The fact that they don't play till Monday night, and Marshall Newhouse dealing with the back injury. But the offensive line play is going to be important today. And you could always say it's always important. But the reason why, this is a Dolphins pass rush, Jeff, that was non-existent right before they made the coaching change.
One sack
in the first four games.
Right.
Last eight games, 25 sacks. So clearly things have picked up. And what's even more impressive with those numbers, Jeff, they've been without Cameron Wake, who is their best pass rusher.
Yeah.
He's out for the season, but Olivier Vernon and Ndamukong Suh, those are the two guys that can wreak a lot of havoc and protection, getting rid of the football quickly, and just getting manageable third downs, yeah. Jeff, is going to be so important tonight.
Well, it is, because the Giants on third down, they're middle of the pack in the National Football League. The Miami defense is near the bottom. They're 26th in third down conversion. So, you know, to get that conversion rate going downfield and keeping the ball, but it does set up with the run. And I think that the Giants, you know, they run the football the best up the middle. They're not that great on the outsides, which leads you to a problem when you got Sue in there.
That's the guy you got to run at.
So,
yeah.
You know, the Dolphins know that. So, basically, they're going to try to bring as much pressure as they can from the contained the outside and make you run up the middle into Ndamukong Suh's area. So that's kind of something you have to be aware of. But they got to get this running game going and at least stay committed to it like they did last week against the Jets. But, you know, I think that a little bit more production. I know you can stay with the run, but let's get a little bit more production out of that. Man, it just seems forever since we've seen a 20-or-plus run out of that backfield. And it would be nice tonight in the warm, warm Miami heat. You know, I mean, it's great to play down there, but from a player's perspective, especially this time of the year, although it hasn't been cold around here. But I remember, you know, when you look on the schedule, when the schedule comes out, and if you play in a cold weather city, you look at the end of the year and go, wow, where are we going in December? And that Miami one there, you circle that one like, oh, that's going to be
that's
great.
That's a thumbs up.
Or I used to always circle the dome games because those were always sweet, no matter when you played them.
But, yes, especially from a punter.
But you wanted to play those dome games in the later part of the season because it's kind of like, don't make me go to Atlanta in September. You know, so.
Save that for December. However, with that being said, Jeff, they're going to look 2 weeks later. They go to Minnesota. I don't know if they necessarily circle.
Well, Minnesota used to be one
I used to
circle
when
Minnesota.
It was in a dome.
Now, you're not going to circle that one anymore. Yeah,
that one's not necessarily cooperating anymore in terms of Mother Nature. But the task at hand and the focus is solely on the Miami Dolphins tonight. And as Jeff mentioned, they have struggled to stop the run. They're giving up over 130 yards per game. So, like we've seen in previous weeks, it's an attractive matchup for the Giants' running game. But the question is, can they get continuity? Can they get things going? We know that they're going to still use this running back by committee. Tom Coughlin and company made that very clear. But it's just a matter of, can they get those 3, 4, 5-yard runs?
Manageable.
It's not as if they even need, Jeff. You had mentioned, you know, when was the last time we saw a 20-yard run? Hey, that'd be nice. But you know what? Even if you get 3, 4, 5-yard runs, you're moving along, you're moving the chains, and then obviously you're getting into manageable third down situations so they don't have to go for the home run all throughout the course
of the
contest.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see, you know, we have this man just running back by committee, and let's just say that Jennings is the first running back in there, and the Giants come out and start, you know, balance football, kind of like they did against the Jets last week, and against Washington. Remember, they came out, they had the first drives have been good other than turning it over. But all of a sudden, let's see what happens when you get one of these running backs to get in a rhythm early. And that rhythm early is going to have to be within the first 2 or 3 runs or 4 runs and see how it goes from there. You know, if they get in a good rhythm, do they go back to him or do they continue to just shuffle in the next guy? Because it would be nice to see that. And if they do shuffle in the next guy, to see if he can get in that same rhythm going. But I think that the Giants will try to stay with their rush today. But more importantly, I believe that they're going to want to throw the football. That's their bread and butter, as we know, because, in fact, it makes us – well, I don't have much hair to pull out, but I think that –
what you have left.
Whatever I have left, I'm trying to pull out at times when you want them to run the football, but they continue to throw it. Let's see if they can do it with some success tonight, because this Miami defense – you know, they are they're 22nd against the pass, but more importantly, they're 30th against the rush.
So. Yeah, they're bottom of the rankings pretty much in just about every statistical category, Jeff. And this is a defense that has surrendered 375 yards or more in the last 6 games. So clearly they haven't done a good job in at least containing the opposition. But with that being said, there's a distinct difference, Jeff, between the yardage you give up versus the points you give up. And the Dolphins haven't been too bad in terms of the points that they've given up. At the same time, this is not an offense. I'm talking about Miami that's been lighting up the scoreboard. They've scored 20 points or less in the last few games.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this is I see the Giants really coming out and getting on. You're going to score some points against this defense for the Dolphins, in my opinion, if they can protect Eli with those guys, because 25 sacks in 8 games, that's getting it done. Now, on the flip side of it, let's talk a little bit about how the Giants have actually improved their pass rush over the last couple games. And what you have seen now is, with the presence of JPP, what has been able to do for those other guys, Robert Ayers and Colin Jenkins and of like. So look at that a little bit tonight. This offensive line is not that great. Tannehill has been sacked a lot this year, the most by any quarterback over the span since 2012. So there's an opportunity for this defensive line to get some stats tonight, some sacks. And, they have been doing well as of late.
6 sacks in the last 3 games. Those numbers certainly have picked up, and over 30 sacks that the Dolphins have allowed this season. As you mentioned, you go back to 2012, it's 173. So, once again, an attractive matchup for the Giants pass rush. But compared to the running game, the Giants have taken advantage of offensive lines that they've gone up against, Jeff, have not been too great in terms of pass protection.
They haven't done very well either. So, I think we're going to kind of scour through this game plan here. The Giants' special teams are not that good. The Dolphins. The Giants' special teams has an advantage here tonight, and I think that Dwayne Harris obviously is now a marked man because of what he's been doing. So they will try to pay attention to him a little bit, but I think that the Giants have the upper hand at the special teams tonight because of the Dolphins. They're not that good on their own special team. So we'll see what happens in that category, because if you get into a dogfight here, you want one of those 3 areas to win. You win 2 out of 3. If your defense and your special teams win and the offense doesn't do that good, you're probably going to come out on top. The Dolphins also are -3 in turnovers. The Giants are +10. And as of late, they've been turning the ball over offensively, so they got to get off of that tonight, really.
Speaking of the Dolphins special teams, they got a rookie kicker.
Yes.
They have a rookie punter. And then, similar to the Giants, Jarvis Landry, who was utilized as a main special teamer, they've sort of been bringing him back a little because they need him as a wide receiver. And that's the same thing the Giants are trying to tackle with Dwayne Harris, not killing him on both offense and special teams.
Well, Landry will be back there, so and he is very, very dangerous, and he has something to prove against Odell Beckham tonight, with them both going, teeing it off today, which will be interesting to watch both of those guys play. And when we talk about Odell Beckham and what he needs around him, and he needs some other guys to step up and start playing some football around him, I think the Giants are trying to really kind of get the tight end position going with Willie Tye. I think that he's a guy that just came in. He's from Stony Brook. He's no Jimmy Graham or anybody like that, but I think that they see the potential in him a little bit, which is kind of nice. And really, you have no other option. But some of those other receivers and even some of the running backs catching the ball out of the backfield got to take a little pressure off of Odell Beckham.
Like a Shane Vereen, Will Tye, 29 targets. That's led to 24 receptions. So there is chemistry building between
he
and Eli Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, those are nice numbers, nice percentages. He certainly has delivered. But you're right, Jeff. After Beckham, after Tye, who's that consistent third weapon? We've seen Dwayne Harris flash. We've seen Shane Vereen
have
his games.
There is no consistent. Yeah.
That's the thing. You want to say, hey, we could pencil this guy in. We know what we're going to get from him. Somebody's got to emerge tonight, especially if the Dolphins, which you're assuming they're going to do all they can to limit Odell Beckham, and they're going to put Brent Grimes, their top corner, on him with some safety help. Somebody else is going to have some favorable opportunities. Who's going to step up? Who's going to take advantage of them?
And I look at what Brent Grimes did against Brandon Marshall when they went up 2 weeks ago. Wasn't good. I mean, Brandon Marshall he's been schooling everybody this year. You look at what he did yesterday. But, I don't care what type of or who you are. You're not going to cover Odell Beckham one-on-one. So I put the best cornerback in the National Football League against Odell Beckham. Good luck. You're still going to have some help. So they'll be bracketing him with, we talk about the safety over the top and not letting him do this, which opens up and simply has been opening up since he's been here, the chance for the other receivers to get open and make some plays. So let's see what happens tonight. I know there's been a lot of emphasis on that this week. There's been a lot of discussion about Reuben Randall, some of the things that he said publicly in the media about his disappointment and this and that. There's been some comments by Coach Coughlin and some of the other guys hey, you should be happy, or try to, the ones that are thrown to you, maybe try to catch them, those kinds of things. So as a player, you got to take that with a grain of salt and go out there and try to prove yourself and really kind of get back at the people that have been barking at you. And I think it's important for Reuben Randall to do that tonight. And JPP coming back to Florida, going to his home state. Let's see what he can do. You know, he's starting to get that groove. You know, when we talked about when he came in to play this year, this is a guy that had been out of football, the guy that was, you know, not in football shape. He was in outstanding physical shape. But, you know, you can see how things are starting to progress for him. And I think defensively, Coach Spagnuolo knows that. And I think you're going to see a lot more out of him from a schematic standpoint on what he does tonight.
Well, when we see a player miss training camp in the preseason, Jeff, and let's say they come back for week one, usually those first four games is the equivalent of their own preseason.
Yeah.
So with JPP, came back, New England, Washington, the Jets. Okay, we're getting into the Tampa Bay, excuse me, was his first game. So
right.
Tampa Bay, New England, Washington, the Jets. Four games under his belt. This would be the equivalent of the start of the regular season for JPP.
Kind of, because, I mean, he's a starter that first game against Tampa. He probably would have played one series, which would have been five or six plays,
and he wound
maybe.
Up playing what,
he ended
like
up saying
40-something.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's there. He's ready to go. He's in game shape. He's all of what, you know, he needs to be. Now it's just a matter of let's see one of those JPP games that we haven't seen in years, and that's to come out with a dual sack game out of him and be a force to reckon with, because really if he starts to play well – tonight, and the offense of the Dolphins have to pay attention to him a little bit more. Look, you got Robert Ayers, who's having, you know, a nice year, and he can sack the quarterback. You got Colin Jenkins in there. You got guys that can get after the passer. So we'll see what happens.
And we should note, speaking of Robert Ayers, he was dealing with a neck
injury.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Did travel with the team.
He did, and you know, that happened on Friday, which was actually like a Thursday. You know, you skip back a day. As far as your preparation, Friday is a Thursday, and you know Saturday is a Friday, and that kind of stuff. So, we'll see how he's holding up.
Fans, we want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports free to play. So glad you could join us for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Let's open up the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. Abdul is in Minneapolis. He gets us going on a Monday. Abdul, what's happening?
Abdul!
Good morning. So it's 70 degrees in New York right now. That's crazy.
No, it's been nuts. It's been absolutely
crazy.
That
is ridiculous.
We'll take it.
They might as well play the game here instead of down in Miami.
Yeah, right. Well, hopefully you guys will bring the weather to Minnesota in a few weeks. I'll see you guys then.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I was completely blindsided by this DeMontre Moore cut. It just, you know, I was hoping that this year we'd see a turnaround with two major pieces with this team, and that was Ruben Randall and DeMontre Moore, and Moore is gone, and Randall has seemed to take a step backwards in his development, which really just bodes really poorly for the Giants' future. You know, these are two major pieces, you know, of the past few draft picks that we're hoping to build upon, and it looks like the front office again has, you know, has missed it on two major pieces, and it's just, you know, I know this Miami game is a little more important than the future, but it just has a kind of a negative pall over, at least for me personally, on this whole organization. It seems like they just can't get out of its own way, you know, and it's been kind of a repeating thing over the past few years. We just can't get out of our own way. Like, you know, we have some positive things going, and it seems like we take two steps backwards. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, that we win out this season and, you know, we make the playoffs. But you look at next offseason, which I said is getting ahead of ourselves. We got to rebuild the whole defense, basically, you know, via free agency and hopefully a draft pick. But it was such a gut blow to me when I woke up and I read that DeMontre Moore was cut. I'm not sure if you guys spoke about that today or not, or on Friday. But
we didn't do it on Friday because it happened after
right.
We left the building.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a little bit on kind of backing up to your comment on both those players. You know, Ruben Randall, you had an idea of what he could do or what he can do physically. He's a tall, gifted receiver. He's fast. You know, he got into some injury problems through his career here. So, you know, one of those kind of guys is you would imagine that he would pan out for you. He was a high draft pick and that you could be able to re-sign him if you could come when he goes into free agency, if he had the credentials and had the years that you wanted him to have. So as a draft pick, you could see how the Giants would go after someone like that. DeMontre Moore, the problem with DeMontre Moore was number one, and I think the number one statistic, not I don't even know what how to name it, but the guy was just coming out of college. He was 20 years old.
Very raw.
And so, you know, he's still very, very young, immature. That was probably the biggest knock on him. Everybody knew his talent, and he does have talent. However, he just doesn't get some of the things that he needs to do while you're in the National Football League. This isn't college anymore.
Was a third-round pick a little too high for him, or was he a third-round talent?
Well, you answer your own question there. I mean, if you look at aside from what the stuff that he's been doing, the intelligence parts of it, I would say that he is a third-round draft pick. I mean, he had three sacks this year. He had, I don't know how many he had last year, quite a few. I think he is a third-round draft pick. However, he's one of those guys where you kind of – you're betting on the come that he is going to develop and mature in front of your eyes, and he just never did that.
So, yeah.
Now, I will tell you this, for all the fans that are listening today, and I'll only say it one time about this situation, is the fact that all the years that I played in the NFL, there was times when this has happened in previous teams I was on. There is multiple times an organization will give a player a chance. They try to rectify the problem that's in-house, but there is what we call repetitive behavior. And I always reference this because I have four kids. And so, you know, when there is repetitive behavior in your family where your kids are doing the same things over and over after you keep telling them that they can't, there has to be some one big aha moment where you take their car away or you ground them or this and that. So this is that type of situation where this was it. And so I will tell you that there's, you know, a lot of times these players just, they don't grow up and they don't get it. And they feel like after this happens to them, Abdul, they'll step aside. They'll take time to reflect. And then they'll realize, wow, what an opportunity I have just blown. And, you know, I have a feeling he will get picked up because he is that talent that we just talked about. But
not for us.
But not for us. They're done with
it. It kind of reminds me of Will Hill. Will Hill, it seems like he got it together down in Baltimore, which is a great thing, but it's too bad he couldn't.
There's no question.
With us.
Anyway,
you know, this is just another knock on the Giants front office. And I'm not sure how many more knocks this team could take with this front office, because it's really putting us behind the eight ball for continued progress. Anyway, let's go, Giants. Hopefully we kick butt tonight and we.
You got it, Abdul. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate the phone call. I was looking back at the analysts leading into that 2013 draft, Jeff, and they had DeMontre Moore projected as a late first rounder, early second rounder.
So
and he actually wound
dropped.
Up sliding down to the
dropped.
Giants in the third round. And after 2012, a productive season that he had at Texas A&M, he was actually projected to be a top 10 pick. So if you look at the chatter out of college, just to go back a few years, you know, clearly the projections were very high. You move the calendar forward, sometimes it doesn't necessarily always meet up to those expectations.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes back to you could have a tremendous amount of upside, versatility, talent. Sometimes it's just not the right fit for the organization or the team. You know, that's what it comes down to. Because, you know, the other thing to keep in mind, putting aside off-the-field issues or whatever, the speculation that's out there, he was also one of those tweener type of guys, Jeff. Was he going to be a linebacker? Was he going to be a defensive end?
Right.
Based on how they utilized him at Texas A&M. So there's always that chance you take on a guy. If we put him in our system, where are we going to put him? And will he be comfortable where he's going to pick up the system and all of a sudden click?
Yep. And, I mean, Abdul made a good point about Will Hill. I will tell you that the Giants – gave him multiple chances because they understood, the Giants did, they really knew how much of a talent he was. And you could tell that when he did leave here, they missed him. And a lot of times, to your point, environment does matter. And so you take a local guy like Will Hill, who grew up in New Jersey in this area, and stick him in an organization like this that will try to help him. But when you have that exterior pressure of kind of what's going on, in your life. You got friends, you got family, you got guys you run around with, you've got drugs, you got things that all that he was involved in. The fact that, you know, that comes back to get you when you're around it. Well, environment, you move away from it. Look what happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does work out
better.
You get
out of town. No,
and you know
point.
What? And he's probably very thankful that the Giants tried to give him a chance and they let him go and he was able to pick up and move on and go down to Baltimore and have pick up his career again. Maybe that'll happen to DeMontre Moore. I would imagine that it's going to, because I really do believe that, and I'm hoping that he understands that the grass on the other side, when you leave somewhere like this and the opportunity that you've been given, certainly go back and look at that and say, you know what, you don't have three chances anymore. Those chances are probably over. You've got one more chance to prove that you can be the guy that team wants you, and you got to do that, because if not, you're going to be on the street and you're going to years later look back on it and say, what a blown opportunity I had, all the money I could have made. Doing something that I love to do, and that's play football for a living, all that stuff. There's so many people that would just love to be in his position that would never do something like that. So.
Well, and all it takes is when the game is taken away from you, Jeff, and you could speak to this. I mean, you've been in the league for 22 seasons. It puts things in perspective when all of a sudden you don't have that game anymore and you don't have that distraction, that positive distraction to keep you motivated every single day.
Listen, I can tell you, you know, I've been retired for 5 years. I made a hell of a living playing football. And, you know, I'm just one of those guys, I have to do something, you know. So I'm working because I want to. And, listen, the money that you make away from football is nothing compared to what you're going to make in football. So, I mean, that's one thing that you'll look back on, or he will, anybody for that matter, and say, good God, I mean, I was getting paid X every Wednesday. You got to be kidding me, right? Yeah. I mean, that's where you kind of all of a sudden – but some guys just don't. They just don't care. They don't get it. And, you know, it's this league can set you up for the rest of your life as long as you take care of the things that you're supposed to. And a lot of times and I know there's people that are saying, how can this happen? How can a guy not go to meetings? I don't know if this is exactly what the situation was and how many times he got in trouble, but I'm just saying what's in this building. There's meetings, there's walking, you know, there's practices, there's things you do when you're on the plane. There's all kinds of behavioral stuff that you just mind your own business and you'll be fine. But some guys just can't do it. They really can't. I'm sorry. New York has a lot of distractions by playing here. I mean, you go across the bridge over there, the tunnel. You got the city.
You got a lot.
That is big, you know. Some of these guys would be better off playing in Green Bay or, you know, Kansas City or somewhere where it's a little bit more subdued and laid back.
Not much else going on.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what we're saying. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. Alan is in Miami. Alan, what's happening?
What's up, Alan?
Gentlemen, hey, I'm at my desk, ready to go. Got tickets for tonight. I'm excited. But
nice.
All right.
This running game, I watch the Dolphins every week because they're here. I mean, you can run right up the middle on them. And then I want to know, are we going to be committed to that game? And then where does Shane Vereen go? I mean, there was a game against San Francisco. He had 8 catches.
Yeah. No, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Like, you know, yeah, I agree with you. Where has he gone? You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't think teams are game planning that much against him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he does everything. Obviously, he's got the pedigree from New England. He can block. He can catch the ball. He can run it from the outside. I mean, it seems like all we've been doing the last couple of weeks is just looking for Beckham, and if we have it, we don't. I mean, you're targeting him 15, 16 times, getting 7, 8 catches. That's half the time it's not even close, but they're just forcing it to him so much. I don't understand why we can't open it up to everybody else. Earlier in the year, it seemed like with McAdoo's offense, everybody was getting love. It was spreading it out to everybody. Short dump-off passes up the middle to the tight end. Now it just seems like it's down the sideline to Beckham or nothing at all.
Well, Alan, part of that is, and they still have been able to take some of their chances down the field to Beckham, but I think part of it is the injuries to the offensive line over the last few weeks. You know, Manning's seen a lot more pressure than he saw in the early stages of the season. He's been sacked three times in each of the last three games. Now, you could say under those circumstances, you should still have time to at least dump it off to Shane Vereen, but I think a lot of that has thrown this offense off a tad, and that's why maybe we're not seeing that even balance and that even distribution. The fact that hopefully some of the guys are going to return back to health tonight will hopefully be a step in the right direction for this offense.
So one last point, and then what does that, and I try to be positive, I believe that we're going to win out and make the playoffs, but then what does that say about your coaching? I mean, everybody's got offensive line problems, everybody's got injuries. Why don't you adjust your scheme and do stuff, get more protection in, drop another back down, use the kid Whitlock as a fullback? What happened to him? I haven't seen him at all. I mean, you had him lining up at D-tackle, at least doing something on defense. Now he's not even out there on offense. What is going on?
Well, yeah, Whitlock hasn't had many opportunities.
Tonight, and I'm excited, so
good.
I'll listen to what you guys have to say.
All right, Alan. Appreciate
thank you,
the
Alan.
Phone call.
Enjoy the
Thanks
game
so
tonight, too. Represent the Giants carefully out there.
Yes, well, there's a lot of New Yorkers in Florida. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to be represented at the game tonight. In terms of Whitlock, we've seen him as a defensive lineman lined up, but in terms of the running game, Jeff, haven't seen him utilized as a fullback, at least consistently each and every contest.
Well, that's because this offense doesn't use the fullback. They really don't. I mean, you see that. You see the tight end back there more often than the fullback. The reason that Whitlock is on this team is because he can play defense, and he's really good on special teams. So, you know, that's all you're going to get out of him. I mean, every once in a while, if you got – I think you would have seen more of him if this team was able to run the football better in situations where you needed those tough yards, you get Whitlock back in there and get it. But I don't think they have – enough confidence in their running game that they're going to get those extra yards with him in there anyways. So that's probably why you don't see much of them.
That's why at this point you want balance in terms of volume so that you keep the defenses, you know, off to their toes and off their feet and so forth, so they don't all of a sudden take everybody and force them in the box. But at the same time, the passing game, as we've seen throughout the course of this season, that's what has to do the heavy lifting on offense.
And I think tonight, I mean – I think you'll probably see a lot of play action tonight because I think the Dolphins are guessing that their game plan for the Giants is going to be to try to run the football and stay with the run, which can work if the offensive line opens up some holes and these guys hit it. But play action can do a lot in this offense with tonight against this defense of the Dolphins, in my opinion. So attack the middle of the field. And really, you know, I think Grimes is their best corner, but other than that, I don't know who the heck is back there that's worth a lick.
No, not nearly as much experience as Brent Grimes. The only other guy that I will say is Rashad Jones, their safety, is essentially playing at a Pro Bowl
physical,
level, if not
very
more.
Very physical.
He's
yes.
got four interceptions. He's a physical guy, as you mentioned, a hard hitter, can stop the run, can play the pass. So, you know, that's a guy that they allow him to roam free, Jeff, and that's why he's been so opportunistic this season.
There's
so
your word.
You don't want to necessarily
opportunistic. See, I've said it a million times that I would never just not be able to say that word again.
But see, that was smooth. There
yes,
you go.
That was good.
Rolled right off the tongue.
See, there it
see,
goes again.
You can't think about it so much.
I have to think about it. Yeah, I hate that word.
All right.
I'll never say it again.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Andrew's in New Jersey. Andrew, what's up?
The trick is to break it into two words.
Like opportunistic. There you go.
There you go. That's good advice.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yes.
But, Will Hill, I saw him a couple weeks ago, I guess Monday Night Football. Had the game-winning pick six.
Against the Cleveland Browns.
Yep. Yeah, he looks like, he's still all stoned out. His teeth were all yellow. So it looks like he's still smoking. But it's good that he got a chance. And Chris Kirksey, too, he's on that team. And
the observations.
This is a huge game. You guys know, obviously, for the playoffs. But I think because for Coughlin, it's a monstrous game because this is probably the weakest team in the final four games. So if they lose this one, it would be terrible, kind of like last year when they lost against the Jaguars. But this is even worse because the playoffs are on the line and Miami has the interim coach. But I hope they win, not just obviously for the playoffs, but so Coughlin could go out on a high note on his own terms. And ironically, I was thinking about it, that as awesome as Eli has been in the fourth quarter, which helped Coughlin, this year he's burned. You know, Coughlin's definitely made play-calling mistakes, but Eli's made mistakes in the fourth quarter against Dallas. He didn't fall down in the first game. The Atlanta game, I know Preston Parker, he's probably nervous to throw it to him, but he was wide open, just looking right at him 10 feet away. And I'm the only one that pointed this out against the Jets in overtime. Eli spiked the ball instead of taking a sack, which gave the Jets either another timeout or another, 35 seconds. So it's ironic that Eli has been the wizard in the fourth quarter, helped get the 2 Super Bowl rings. So, it's just ironic. But hopefully we'll win tonight. And if we play cleanly, I think we will win and get short yardage runs. But I just want to ask you guys before I hang up. I'll hang up, but I'll listen. Do you think if, Coughlin's been great, 2 Super Bowls, Plexico, 2008, shoots himself in the leg. I think we were on our way to another Super Bowl. And even 1 year we were 10-6, and they didn't make the playoffs, but they were rolling at the end of the season on a roll. So as awesome as it is to have the 2, it's almost like we should have 3, maybe even 4. And if you want to comment on that, you can, but I'll listen off air. Thanks, guys.
All right, Andrew. Appreciate the phone call.
Well, as hard as it is to get 1, we got 2 in that run from 7 to 11. And certainly I will tell you I was on that team when Plaxico's situation has, and I think that team was better than the 2017. I mean, we were that good. We could run the ball against them. We were averaging over 200 yards a game rushing, which is just insane. Things like that happen, and that was one giant distraction, and unfortunately it derailed us. It really did. So, So, anyways, this team, they can win a game tonight and get back in the thick of things and stay in. They got to win just to stay in line with that NFC East, man.
Yeah, you got to keep pace at this point because your two rivals won. Yeah, you want to continue to even the record with them, and then you worry about the following weekend. It's really a week-by-week narrative. I mean, it's always like that in the NFL, but at this point, with so many teams close to one another in this division, you can't think about if they lose this week, if they win this week, what does that mean for the next game? The bottom line is you take care of business every week, you see how the standings play out, and you go from there. But the goal is clearly the other two teams won. We want to stay even with them. We have to win this game.
And now Washington has to play Dallas one more time.
Correct. That's the last week of the season. And Philly. And then the Giants still have a game remaining with Philadelphia. So there's going to be some battles within that are going to shake up the standings. You're also going to have some out-of-conference games in terms of the Redskins are going to have the Buffalo Bills next week. The Giants have the Panthers and the Vikings, two teams that are bound for the postseason most likely and have been playing very good football. So there's a lot of football that's still at play. I would agree with the point that Andrew brought up, Jeff. If you look at the 4 remaining games, with the exception of Philadelphia, this is the game record-wise or opponent-wise where you say, this is a very winnable game based on how the NFL landscape has played out compared to what you're going to have in the next couple
of
weeks.
There's no question. And you look at the way that the Eagles and the Redskins have played as of late, they have really rallied around the inept division, so to speak, saying, hey, listen, anybody's got a chance here. And these guys have really taken the lead. And they said, hey, we're going to go out and win some games. And that's what they're doing, where the Giants have lost 3 in a row and basically have dropped down and didn't take advantage of that situation. So and still to think that the Giants are still in a situation where if they win tonight, they can still be tied. At least record-wise, with all those 2 other teams, and it's just up for grabs. But you got to watch out for those teams when they get on a run. And right now, the Washington Redskins and Eagles are on that little bit of a run. I mean, the Eagles go into New England and beat them up there. They get a win yesterday, so I mean, they're on a little bit of
they started to gain some momentum.
Yeah. So they're kind of in this mode,
and that's why you have to take advantage of your opportunities. You got to take care of your own business. I mean, we go back to Jeff, and we were talking about this off the air, on the air. Out of the Patriots game, the Giants are 5-5 entering the bye, and that overlapped Thanksgiving weekend where the Cowboys, the Eagles had played 2 games, and the Giants hadn't even played one.
Yeah, they were that week, that span, the division went 1-4.
1-4, correct.
Yeah.
So 1-4, the division goes. The 3 remaining teams, you're 5-5. Going into the Washington game, week 12, I mean, there's an opportunity. You move 2 games up.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
They didn't take advantage of that.
No.
And then on top of that, you come back and you lose to the Jets. So, the ball has bounced the Giants' way.
There's no
– even in a down year.
Listen, they have had every opportunity to step forward, but they just have not taken that opportunity to do so. This is another one tonight. your opportunity isn't to go ahead, it's to stay pace. So you've got to have to do that. So an important game down in Florida tonight, Monday Night Football, which in my mind, Monday Night Football has lost its luster. Back in the day, Monday Night Football was the game that everybody wanted to play because it was the only primetime game on, like that kind of game. All the players in the league would be watching it in this Monday Night Football. But nowadays, it's Thursday Night Football. You got Saturday Night Football. It's Sunday Night Football. It's like, it's not as big as it used to be. Now it's kind of one of those games. I know later when we started to have all these games, I hated the Monday Night games because you sit – those guys right now
– waiting around.
What time is it? 12:40?
12:40. Yeah,
they're sitting in their hotel room right now. they're just counting down the hours when pregame meal is going to be. It's a joke. And you can only watch SportsCenter so many times on a Monday.
Or the highlights or go over the game plan.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can relate to that from a broadcasting perspective because I'd rather just go to work early and get it over with as opposed to hang around late, too. So
yeah, you got those late basketball games.
Yes, indeed.
But you try to put in like 5 shows in before the game, so
well,
you know, your
guess,
day go by quick that way.
Yeah, I guess that does eat up some time. Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Free to play. Let's head back to the phone lines, 201-939-4513. We'll also take a look at some of your tweets at hashtag Giants Chat. Charlie is in Maine. Charlie, what's happening?
Hey,
Charlie.
Hey, Jeff.
What's up?
Hey, how we doing, Charlie?
I think you got a lot of hats on the floor. You know, you said you were going to, you know.
There's not a lot of hats. I don't see any hats
you're
down
gonna
here.
You're going to put your hat on Coughlin and, you know, and I think we got 5 hats on the floor. I think you better find another hook for the fourth quarter.
All right. Well, let me look around. I got a couple hooks available, so we'll find one.
All right. Oh, God. I'll just say one thing about the whole Moore thing. Why is it always, you know, I just don't think we brought the best out of him. I think we try to make him into something he wasn't. We didn't play him enough. And last week we finally got 46 snaps. And he actually played well, and then we cut him. We let him go. It just blows my mind. Before that, he was getting 10, 9 snaps. He was getting frustrated. And, you know, Jenkins, who was supposed to be captain of the team, and that whole little brawl that happened over headphones, I know it's more than just headphones, but Jenkins ain't even going to be on the team next year. He's 34 years old. So we cut the 23-year-old. I just don't see it. But I think Moore is going to have a great career. And if somebody like Seattle picks him up, they're going to utilize his strengths. They're going to utilize his strengths, and he's going to be a pass rusher, and he's going to be a good one. They're not going to care if he can run, you know, stop the run. Like, you know, he's going to be a pass rusher. And I hope he goes to Seattle because I think that would be a great fit for him. And I'm just sad that the Giants, again, don't know how to utilize the players they draft. But that's enough of that.
Okay.
Go ahead if you want to say
no,
anything.
No, it's enough of that.
Yeah, well, but here's the one thing I will say, Charlie, and not to, you know, blow this whole thing out of proportion, but, you know, if the Giants are going to part ways with a third-round pick from 2013 – you know, clearly that's not a decision that you just make overnight, Jeff.
No.
It's not a decision that you just in the blink of an eye say that's it. Clearly there was a lot of thought that went into it. There were a lot of factors that were weighed into it. So, you know, it's not as if all of a sudden they said, well, we're going to part ways with a player that has a lot of upside and this is going to come back to bite us. I mean, clearly there was a lot of thought that went into it before they came to that decision, Charlie.
Yeah, well, I know. But it's a lot of wrong thought on my part. I mean, I've seen it happen, you know, with Will Hill. I've seen it happen with Marvin Austin. He finally started to play well after all his injuries.
Yeah, but what has Marvin Austin done since he left the Giants?
He's played in Denver. He was in the rotation in Denver, and he played very well. He wasn't a starter, but he played in the rotation. And when the guys got injured, he also stepped up and started. I mean, it just seems to keep happening, and it's just sad to me. It's sad when you don't utilize a guy's strengths. You know, we always try to make somebody into something they're not. And but anyway, about the game tonight, we better win tonight because, you know, the only thing I'm scared of is, like, Sue. You know, Sue is going to, you know, end up playing like the Hall of Fame Pro Bowl guy he was in Detroit. You know, one game he'll just be a friggin' superstar, just like Cousins all of a sudden became a great quarterback for 1 week. You know, it just blows my mind how many times that happens. In like Fitzpatrick, you know, he hadn't thrown for 300 yards all year, but he throws for, I don't know, 390 against us. It's just like we make players who are mediocre into stars, and I just don't understand it. So I'm hoping that Sue is just going to keep playing the way he's been and that this offensive line can do something. And we've got to change things up. We've got to figure out how to do something different, and we got to use Vereen more. We got to score points. If we don't score points tonight, we're going to lose this game. And I'm hoping that we come out starting fast. We haven't done that, I don't think, in a game yet. You know, maybe one game we started. You know, well, I guess the New Orleans game we were on fire, the offense anyway. But we got to come out starting fast so we get momentum going. You know that because we can't wait till the last quarter or 2 minutes left. Because we've seen how that's worked out. I'm hoping this game we're going to just come out and we're going to beat them by like 14, 21 points. Because we need a game like that. That will give us confidence. Having Carolina coming into our house next week, that will give us confidence that the offense is in the flow, our defense has played well, and then maybe we can, you know, continue a streak. But this is the game, and you know, we gotta, you know, it's got to get done. And if it doesn't get done this game, then it's going to be a slow trek to the bottom of the division, I think.
Well, but I think you're right, Charlie. And in fact, we touched on it earlier, that this is probably of the four that is left is probably the most winnable, if you will, because I think Minnesota and Carolina are both tough opponents, and you know, the Eagles are always our toughest opponent in the division. And so really, yeah, I think this is it. You got to win this game. We can call them must wins if you will, but this, you must win this game to keep in line with the division, because if not, you're just going to slowly slip away into oblivion.
You don't want to fall one game back, because then obviously you need help.
Yep. Hey, Jeff, I just want to ask you about the new snapper that we got.
Sure.
How would that have affected you? If, you know, you got a new snap, you know, because you're the other one that holds this, you know,
sure,
catches a snap.
You know, punting, it's a little bit different, but you can get used to it in a week, as long as he's a right-handed snapper. You know, if he was left-handed, it's more of an adjustment because now the ball is turning the opposite way. But I think the from a practice standpoint, where you have to kind of get more comfortable with it sooner or later is the extra points, because that is, you know, I got to, you know, I was able to catch footballs from Zach, and he has a very, really soft approach to his field goal snaps. You know, they're not 100 miles an hour. They're really where this guy is, you know, watching him practice, it seems he's a little more, it's a little faster. So from a holding standpoint, you got to kind of be aware of that. And that'll take about a week to get used to it, but they're fine. You know, as long as the laces are there, I think you could probably hold field goals, Charlie. You know,
hey,
well, don't give him that much confidence.
I don't know about that. Jeff, did you ever close your eyes when they you know, on a kickoff? Did you ever have to hold a kick on a kickoff? Did you ever just close your eyes and hope they didn't hit you?
No, I knew that they were that good. They're not gonna. Listen, of all the field goals I held, I only got my hand kicked one time, and it was by John Carney, and it wasn't John's fault. It was actually my own fault. That I had the ball. Okay, I don't know if you can see me on the.
Yeah, I can.
All right, so when I met my laces, that when the ball comes, they know exactly how many times it spins. Did I catch it like this, where the laces are, and all I got to do is take it and put it down, right?
Well, what
I did is I caught it, and as I was going down like this, my hand kind of slipped off the ball, and I was able to hold it here, but I did not get. By the time I tried to get my hand up like this, John had already kicked it, okay? And he didn't kick my hand. I basically blocked
the – I was going to say he kicked the ball into
your
hand.
It was an extra point, and it made it over the crossbar. but John looked at me and like, did you block that? I'm like, yeah, I did. It hurt, man. It hurt bad, you know?
Oh, geez.
But we made it. It was against Washington. I'll never forget the look on his face. It was like, what happened? Because it was like a wounded duck. It just went.
Yeah. I'm surprised that it doesn't happen more often.
Nah, you know, it's true. Just those guys are so good. They hit the ball the same spot every single time.
And right.
So. But
all right, guys, have a
Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah, good
call. Good night tonight, and good talking to you. And find another place to put your hats there.
All right, we will. We're gonna have the maintenance department come over and put some hooks up here.
They're gonna put plenty of hooks up all across the walls in this room. All right, Charlie, appreciate the phone call. Let's head back to the phone lines. Russell's in Alaska. Russell, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man? It's really hard sometimes to get y'all when you're out here. It's nothing but darkness out here.
Well, we appreciate your dedication,
this
Russell.
This time of the year,
thanks
right?
Thanks for sticking with us. Yeah.
So, all right, I just listened to Charlie. Now, I ain't hearing from Shakes. I heard from Lynn. I heard from a couple of people. Now, this, you know, the rumor I've been watching the internet is saying fire Tom Coughlin. No, you don't fire Tom Coughlin. This one person's blamed for the season. I said at the beginning of the season, fix this offensive line. Jerry Reese, you have failed again. It's time for him to go. I'm sorry. This is 4 years in a row he done messed it up. 4 years. You fix the offensive line, you don't have these problems. He counted on Beattie. Beattie's out for the season. I'm like, here we go. Come on, man. You counted on Victor Cruz and you signed Akeem Nicks late? What are you doing? We're done. I'm sorry, we're not making the playoffs. You cannot make the playoffs with this offensive line. You can't do it. We're 5-7. We lost to the Jets. Well, I mean, it's over. I'm a diehard Giants fan, but I know it's over. I don't know if we're going to beat Miami tonight. That's how bad it is with this offensive line. And Charlie is right. Sue might just come out and be – he might just get a bunch of sacks on Eli. I'm surprised Eli not hurt. This offensive line, Newhouse, come on.
But in fairness, Russell, the offensive line had been fine in the early stages of the season. The sack numbers have increased in the last three games when they've had to deal with some injuries.
But the run block's been terrible. We got no defensive end. I mean, Jerry Reese knew this when he was coming in. Fix it. It's not hard. Go sign somebody. Your draft picks are worthless. You only get, like, the first three rounds good, and the last couple of rounds, you mess it all up. So go get a defensive end, man. It's not hard. We're not going to be mad. This is your last year. This could be 4 years in a row. We do not make the playoffs. You got to go, bro. I'm sorry. Get it. Tom Coughlin, I love him. He's coaching this team the best way he can. I cannot blame him for this. I blame Jerry Reese. You do not get the talent you need. So you got to go. We need a new GM. I'm sorry. I'm a diehard Giants fan. I dissected. They should not fire Tom Coughlin. I think he's doing an excellent job with his lack of talent. We have no talent. And y'all know it. The defense is, oh, my. We got a fullback on a pass rush? Oh, my. Yeah. It's Tom Jerry Reese. You got to go, bro. It's not Tom Coughlin's fault. That's all I had to say because I'm about to cross the gate, man. It's hard to reach.
All right, Russell. Appreciate the phone call.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's just the way he put it. You got a fullback. I still go back to this is that, you know, William Beattie is in the weight room and gets hurt. That's Jerry Reese's fault. I'll never know. Victor Cruz, you know, he's coming back from major surgery. And next thing you know, he's having surgery on his calf on the other leg. How that's Jerry Reese's problem, I don't know. Offensive line, you got Richburg, high draft pick, Pugh, first rounder, Flowers, first rounder, Beattie, first rounder. I mean, okay. These guys collectively, they're first round draft picks, Newhouse, John Jerry. You know, these guys are journeymen, and but you got to fill the spots with someone. We knew that Newhouse wasn't going to be an all-pro Pro Bowl right tackle for you, but he's probably going to get you by until Beattie got hurt or got back. Well, nothing happened. So I think you hit the nail on the head, too. At the beginning of the season,
this
offensive line
too.
Was doing well. Eli was not sacked a lot. He was not throwing interceptions because, bottom line, with Eli, when there's pressure, he throws the ball in interceptions.
He got good protection early in the season. Well, and as you noted, Jeff, the goal was heading into the season that Beattie and Flowers are going to be your two tackles.
Yeah.
Everybody in the interior was pretty much laid out. You had, Pugh, Richburg, and Schwartz. So that was your alignment for your offensive line. Okay, Beattie then hurts himself. He has the torn pectoral muscle. So now Flowers is going from a right tackle to a left tackle. Marshall Newhouse, who was brought in, the caller's point was you need to bring in depth. So they brought in Marshall Newhouse. He was expected to be that swing veteran who's going to be the backup. Now the backup is thrown into a starting role as a result of an injury that who could have predicted, as you noted. So therefore, Newhouse gets thrown into a starting role. But now Schwartz goes down. I mean, it's hard to anticipate all of these things. Now you're bringing in Bobby Hart. You're bringing in John Jerry. So now you're eating in to your depth chart, yep, when clearly the whole point of those guys to begin with was to provide depth and not necessarily start every single down. But they've been hit by, unfortunately, injuries at the worst point because it's happening right when they're trying to solidify a division and fight for a playoff spot. This is when you can least afford to lose these guys.
And, again, I think that, you know, there is probably some fault here with the run game on the offensive line. They probably would tell you that they have to block better, schematically maybe here and there, and, you know, the running backs too. So, but I'm not going to get on the offensive line. I think they played pretty decently this season.
All things considered, and the way that Manning has performed,
yeah,
I mean, it compared to some previous seasons, you know, the injuries obviously have taken a toll on this offensive line, but I don't think that's the main issue as to why the offense hasn't necessarily been producing consistently over the last few weeks. And the offensive line has nothing to do with the defense, which has been also very up and down this season.
And again, when you get into you know, the game, how it dictates the offense, how they play, you know, I mean, sometimes you get down 17-0, you're going to start passing the football. You know, there's no run game there anymore. So a lot of different things happen within the game that dictate your play calling and things like this. But, you know, I think tonight is a great opportunity for this Giants offensive line to get back into the swing of things. I know that Schwartz is really the one guy that's missing in there that started the season. But, you know, Jerry has plenty of experience playing, and we'll see what happens with that line.
Speaking of Jerry, good transition.
Hey,
we have Jerry
that?
On the line. He's in Florida. Jerry,
Jerry.
What's happening?
Hey, guys, you know, I haven't called in much because you guys seem to hit everything that I would have said.
Except for today.
No, I would say that, look, clearly the success of the football team starts with the offensive line.
No question.
And with injuries, you just don't have cohesion, and then everything falls apart. Then the next thing is getting the defense in line. But I will say this, just to put things in perspective. Tonight's game is going to be a quasi-home game for the New York Giants.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of
fans. They have been begging local Dolphin fans to come to the game. There's going to be more than 50% fans that are going to be the Giants. There's going to be giant blue everywhere. As a matter of fact, the last time I got a chance to go to the game, LT was playing, and it was a preseason game. And that's the last time I saw them play down here. But in any case, I'm looking forward to a win for the Giants. I'm realistic about next week against the Panthers, but I'm hopeful that they can win the last two games and maybe things will shake out.
Maybe.
But realistically, the way they're playing, if they make the playoffs, they're likely to be one and done.
I think that most of these teams, anybody that makes the playoffs in the NFC East is probably going to be one and done. But you never know. You know, it's just a matter of getting in the tournament and seeing what happens. But I think that this is a crucial game for the Giants because it's the most winnable, in our opinions, for the next four that are coming up. So,
and they also need to snap this three-game skid.
Oh, something.
I mean, that's why it's so important. I mean, right now they're going in the wrong direction.
And what better point would it be? And I'd just, yeah, is it going to happen? I don't know. But to rattle off four wins at the end of a season will cure a lot of ailments. You know, cure all the naysayers that say fire Reese and fire Coughlin and, you know, make the play. This team makes the play. It's all in your own hands, guys. If you're on 53 guys, this is it.
Well, a win tonight will at least keep their nose above water.
Yes.
But if they win two out of the next four, it sets the stage for next year. Because if they can keep that injury bug away, they've got a damn good team for the future.
Listen, this team has – you talk about injury bug. I saw a stat last week that this team, once again, has the most injuries of any team in the last 4 years straight. So, I mean, yeah, if the team could just stay healthy and some of your playmakers. I mean, can you imagine this offense when we've been crying for who is that second receiver? Guess who would have been that second receiver this year?
Victor Cruz.
It would have been ridiculous what Victor Cruz would have been able to put up considering if he came back healthy and the way he used to play. Oh, my gosh, right?
Well, and let's not forget also they lost Jonathan Hankins, who doesn't seem to get a lot of attention because he seems to be a quiet guy. But, I mean, he was your best run stopper, too. And he got decent pressure on the quarterback at least last season. I mean, that was a significant loss, too.
No question. And those guys never get the accolades they should just because, you know, they're down in the trenches and nobody pays attention to them. But they're a vital, vital part of any team's defense is those defensive tackles. They can, you know, stop the run, and he did a really good job at it.
Jerry, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Good to hear from Jerry. Haven't heard from him in quite some time. Let's wrap up the program with one final call. Stephanie is in West Virginia. Stephanie, what's happening?
What's going on, gentlemen? I hardly get to call in. I just want to piggyback on what that last caller said. I am so sick and tired of hearing about the problems of Jerry Reese. Jerry Reese, the offensive line is not the problem. Okay, you can make a case. Maybe they're a problem because we can't run the football. Or maybe it's the type of the running backs we have, they're finesse. We need power running backs. The problem on this team is the play calling on third down and in the red zone. And this offensive scheme, period, is not fitting our quarterback. Number two, we have addressed, you're right, we have addressed the offensive line in the past draft. We keep ignoring key position. We have ignored the defensive line, which is the bread and butter of our team. We don't have enough pass rushers on this team, which question the difference why they even cut DeMontre Moore. He's good making plays, but I'm not even going to get into that. We don't have a physical shutdown quality tight end, and we don't have a power running game. And to say it's the offensive line is ludicrous. Denver Broncos offensive line not good. They winning 10 games. They got a running game, a great defense, and good receivers, and good tight ends. The Patriots offensive line isn't good. They got injuries all on their offensive line. They got a power running game with LeGarrette Blount, and they got two other running backs, but they got Rob Gronkowski. It's the decision-making Eli Manning, who he's throwing to. If you know Reuben Randall is inconsistent, you don't throw to him on third down, you don't throw to him the touchdown. You throw it to Hakeem Nicks. If not, you run some trick plays in the red zone on third down. I don't even throw in somebody like Marcus Coon probably can catch a ball. That is on the receiver.
Well, I bet you got to do something down there in the red zone.
And another thing, Green Bay and Carolina both are out with their number one receivers, and they're winning. So stop it all. It's quarterback decision-making,
Green Bay lost five
coordinator in a row. Play calling, and Tom Coughlin's bad coaching decision. We knew about the injuries along the D-line. Until this team restocks the defensive line and get a shutdown tight end and get a power running game and get that number one solid 2 and 3 option receiver like the Pittsburgh Steelers have, you know, then we'll win a championship game. But as far as Tom Coughlin's days of coaching, it's done. He can't compete with these division. We got to look at Kirk Cousins and Sam Bradford. Kirk Cousins, in particular, competing for this division title. And Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning ought to be ashamed of themselves. That's what I got to say. Thanks for taking my call.
All right,
thank you, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for the phone call.
I'll tell you what, I will agree with her not everything, but some of it. Red zone, red zone, red zone, red zone. I mean, you got to do something down the red zone. I mean, she said it, either trick plays or if you got to put Marcus Coon in there, do something. Because
that would be a trick play.
This team is horrible in the red zone. And when you think, you know, tonight they got a score down there. And, you know, look at Josh Brown. He had 20-something field goals in a row dating back to last year. That's too many, too many. Got to have touchdowns in down there.
Well, the Giants have 6 turnovers in the red zone this
season.
Oh,
man.
And that's
an
NFL high. And that's a no-no. It goes without saying.
And
Eli
Manning. I think probably, I don't have the stats for me, but I think that Eli probably is up there.
Oh, he is. In terms of red zone turnovers. Yeah, I mean, because he did. He lost a fumble, I know, against the Atlanta Falcons. That was a costly fumble. He had a few interceptions. He had the interception against the Jets. Now, on the flip side, though, against Washington. Now, on the flip side, I mean, it's a combination of the quarterback maybe trying to force it, but at the same time, the receivers
and the route running.
So to say it's just one aspect of the offense, I think, is a little misleading.
No, it isn't.
I mean, I agree with the last caller. I agree with what you're pointing out. Red zone has come back to bite them because, Jeff, when you're losing games by a point, 3 points, you get an extra touchdown. You get even an extra field goal. Forget the touchdown. You know, you turn some of those losses into wins. So clearly the red zone, if you were to rank issues on this team, and yes, defense is certainly an area, on offense specifically, the red zone issues, the turnovers, the missed opportunity has come back to haunt this team more often than not.
Listen, you take a couple field goals out of those games where you lost them in the last 2 minutes five times this year. Maybe this gets you three more wins on it where you're sitting there right now in first place, sole first place. But that's not the case. We know that. We know that very well, and there has to be an improvement in the red zone tonight to beat the Dolphins.
Clearly, they're going to have to take advantage of their opportunities. With that being said, appreciate all the phone calls and all the tweets and all the interaction throughout the last 60 minutes.
And if you want more about tonight's game,
it never ends.
You got to tune in later to
true.
You know, our pregame show, 7 o'clock, I believe it is, on WFAN. And me, Lance, John Schmoke, and Paul Dottino will be bringing you through our pregame show. So we'll definitely hit a little bit more on the Dolphins tonight. And hopefully we'll send it off to Bob Papa and Carl Banks when they can take over the rest of the game and see if they can come home victorious tonight.
So you can hear that game on WFAN 660 in New York. Also, it is streamed online at Giants.com. So if you're not in that neck of the woods, head to Giants.com and you can listen to the game, listen to our pregame show as well. Jeff and I will be on after the game, too, taking phone calls on the fan and recapping the whole contest. So certainly a lot of coverage coming your way. Giants, Dolphins, Monday Night Football, huge game. Goes without saying for both teams, but the Giants do want to keep pace with the Redskins and Eagles, who won on Sunday. We want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live was brought to you by DraftKings, daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll speak to you Tuesday, noon Eastern, recapping Giants and Dolphins. Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got it on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.